Okay, we're ready to go ahead and start. We are going to talk about Faith is Released by Words. So the title of this whole course is Faith Foundations, and tonight we will be speaking about the subject of faith, but that faith is released by words. And in a book called Ever Increasing Faith, written by Smith Wigglesworth, he tells a story about an area he had gone to minister in, and a woman he had ministered to, and he had laid hands on this woman that had a big goiter on her neck, and he prayed for her. And after he laid hands on her and prayed for her, she got up and testified, "Praise the Lord! I'm healed! I'm healed! Jesus healed me!" If you looked at her, that goiter was still there, that big growth, and it was visible. It was very visible. Everybody could see it. But she went around praising the Lord that she was healed. People kind of looked at her, and then a year went by, and Smith Wigglesworth happened to be back in that same town, ministering again. And here comes this woman, stands up, testifies with the whole congregation. Praise the Lord! God healed me! God healed me! I'm healed! And there's that growth. And everybody kind of looks at her. And this was a conference. She was staying there for several days, not just one day. Smith Wigglesworth goes about, you know, wherever else the Lord had sent him. And another year goes by. Now it's been 2 years. He comes back to the same town again, and here's this woman, and she stands up and praises the Lord, tells everybody how she's been healed, and there's that big goiter hanging off the side of her neck, and she's praising the Lord about how healed she is. Now it's rather open how people are talking about her. That's just ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Can you believe her? I mean, that's a joke. That's a joke. Look at her. Look at it. Look at it. She goes home that night, and she starts praying to the Lord. She says, "Father, I know that you healed me. I know that I'm healed. I've already been healed. I've already received. But I just ask that you'd show all the rest of those people." She goes to bed. She wakes up the next morning and it's gone. She goes back into that conference, raises her hand, praises the Lord. Now, there's some things that we can learn by that, and one of them is that she refused to quit. And the other one is that she kept her words consistent with what the Scripture said. And she chose to walk by faith, not by sight. Now, you know, we hope that when there are challenges, that there isn't that kind of a weight. But even if there is a weight, because the Bible says with faith and patience, we inherit the promises. So even if there is a weight, we know that if we stick with what the Word of God said and we keep our mouth lined up with what God said, we'll get the desired result. Pastor Brad pointed out something really interesting, and I wasn't in here on Sunday, but did he share with you about when he was studying in Genesis, how when God said, "Let there be light," there was light? Did he get to that? And that when God said, "Let there be light," light was created, but there was an 8-minute delay. And he and I just got kind of excited about that, thinking about that. But there's God speaking it into being. God! And yet there was still a delay before it was received on this earth. Isn't that interesting? So if there is a little bit of a time delay, we shouldn't let it deter or hinder our faith. Because we are called to walk by faith, not by sight. We are a faith people. We're saved by faith. And everything that we do should be done through faith, because it's faith that pleases God. So we shouldn't find it odd that a woman that had that situation kept praising God that she was healed. But we should know that we are a peculiar people. And that we're called to walk by faith, and that's what pleases God. There are two scriptures, primary scriptures, that we're going to look at tonight. Matthew 12:37, and then we will also look at Mark 11:23. Matthew 12:37 says, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." And Mark 11:23, we all are real familiar with this one. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. What do words have to do with faith? A lot. The words we speak today impact us today. The words we speak today impact tomorrow and impact our future. We know that they impact the people that we're around. We know that they impact the atmosphere, because you can speak angry words and create an angry atmosphere, or you can speak faith-filled words and create just a fabulous atmosphere to be able to dwell in. So our words have a lot to do with faith. Words can destroy or words can bless. It's important we get an understanding of our words and how powerful our words are. And that's why sometimes we take it back to what God has modeled for us. Because we know also in Mark 11:23, it says, have faith in God. But if you study that out in Greek, what it's actually saying there is have the God kind of faith. And what is the God kind of faith? The God kind of faith is the kind of faith that text comes to us because it was Jesus responding to the disciples. If you're there in Mark chapter 11:23, Jesus was responding to the disciples. The disciples had just witnessed him speak to the fig tree. They went off, they came back, and they saw the fig tree, and they saw that it had withered from the roots up. And when they start to address Jesus and ask Jesus about it, Jesus responds, have a God kind of faith. And then he says, for verily I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up, cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, what's the God kind of faith? God kind of faith can speak to something. So we know that God said, let there be light, and there was light. But here now we see Jesus modeling this. And he was modeling it for his disciples. He was showing his disciples what they could do with their words if they believed. So it's very important that we're careful to say what we mean, to be exact with our words when we can. It's also important for us to be good to our words. What do I mean by that? Meaning that if you say you're going to do something, that you follow through and do it. Because then you're going to value your own word. Because you're going to know when you say something, you mean it. We know that's especially true in dealing with children, but not just with children, with anybody. It's important for you to know that when you say something, you're going to do it. Because what happens if you keep saying something and then you don't follow through, you start to hurt your own faith in what you're saying. And so what you want to do is build your own faith up in valuing what your word says. When you say something, you do it and you follow through and you keep your word. Standing behind your word increases your confidence. And it increases your confidence in speaking things into being or changing things. Because you know you are a man of your word. You know you are a woman of your word. And that you're going to keep your word. And when you say something, you back your word up. And you do it. There's a scripture that talks about swearing, keeping your word and swearing to your own hurt. I don't know if you've ever done that, but have you ever made a commitment and then realized it wasn't going to be very easy to keep? And then you kept it anyway? Or you made a commitment to do something or to pay for something and it ended up being more expensive than you thought, but you went ahead and did it anyway because you said you were going to do it? Because you're a person of your word. The people of their word keep their word. And I believe it's pleasing to God when we keep our word. There are times we've committed to do things and then situations change and I thought, oh, we went ahead and did it anyway because we said we were going to do it. And you really learn that with children, because with children, they hold you accountable to your word. But you said, if I finished my homework, I could go out and play. How can you change it now? But you said. And so you learn that they're so good at holding you accountable that I'm very careful with the promises I make to my son. I said, I'm not telling you we're going to do it or we're not going to do it. What I said is, when you finish this homework project, we will discuss it. We will see what time we're finished at. And if we finish early enough, it is possible that I may allow you to go outside and play. But I'm not committing to that right now. You need that, so you need to know my son. But I'm telling you, go play, go ahead. I am not promising that to you. Do you understand that? I'm waiting for a response from you. Okay. Right, because what you're trying to get me to commit. I remember taking somebody's child home one day, and in the van, they already started working me for candy. I mean, in the van, it started working. Now, if I'm not good at that, work for that, then can I have some candy? I mean, I'm going to work with it. Because I want to get you to commit. And I said, well, we'll have to see. I'm not going to promise that to you right now, right? Because I want to get you to commit. And I know that once I commit, I've got to keep that commitment. But God likes it when we keep our commitments. People like it when we keep our commitments because it shows you as being a trustworthy person. You can be counted on. If they say it, they'll do it. I remember my grandfather. Oh, he would not make commitments. But I knew that once he made a commitment, it was pure gold because I knew I could count on it. Knew I could count on it. I remember one day he told me when I lived in Born Again, he was going to come up and help me build a closet because there was this little closet that had this wall halfway where it kind of broke up. It could be a big walk-in closet, but instead it was small. It made two small, narrow, odd shaped spaces. I don't know, somebody must have done remodeling at some point and left some weird shape. Ooh, odd. And he said, I will come up and I will help you with it. And I thought, okay. And he said, I will be there at X time on X day. I thought, okay. And I remember, he had a diesel Mercedes, and you can hear those things far away. And I remember I could hear that he had pulled up, the kind of like that. And so I knew he'd pulled up. He was like 15 minutes early. And he said, that's fine. I guess it wasn't here. He called me for dining and going, like, look at the woman, I'm like, oh, that's his car. That's him. I can hear things, okay? Yeah, I'm looking at him. Leaning over the steering wheel, and he's like, nice to see him in there. He's okay. And I go about doing something. He comes in on the deck of the train, and he told me he was going to do that. And I said, well, what are you doing? He said, I told you when I'd do that, and that's when I came. And so he was like that. Somebody I could count on. Somebody that was good to his word. Not just in little things, in big things, too. He was a blessing in my life. Our words are important. And when you have faith and confidence in your own words, you will know that you can begin speaking with faith and confidence and speaking things into being. And when you're very careful with your words, you can have faith in your words. I'm careful with what I say, because I've watched a lot of things come to pass. And so it taught me to be very careful with my words. I remember when I was at Rhema, and it was a women's conference, and there was a woman that got up and she was teaching on faith, and she'd moved into a new area. It was a little remote. To get to their house, they had to drive past this other house. And as they drove past this other house, they had a dog. This dog would chase their cat. It was a funny thing. Anyway, this other house had a dog, and every time they tried to drive to their house, this dog would come running off of the other property and chase them and break at the wheels, and really it became rather irritating for them. And so she was sharing this story that her and her husband were teasing one time about this dog, and she started calling it Speed Bump. This is a woman of faith. And she started calling that dog Speed Bump. And then the next thing you know, one of them hit it. Her husband, actually. He said, well, you got what you said. No, they didn't kill it, and it was okay. But she learned something. She learned to be careful with her words. Right, because when you're a person of faith and you believe that God stands behind your words, what you say is really important. It's really important. I've watched things come to pass. She's watched that happen. So that can be positive and it can be negative, but the key with this is the more accurately you'll use your words, the more anointed your words will be and the more God can trust you to bring things to pass when you speak them, because he knows you're going to be careful with your words. But somebody that wants to just go and cursing people out of anger or misusing words in a way that would not be from the root of love, then it's going to affect the words. This is somebody that knew about faith. And when Jeff was saying things like that, ha ha ha, ha ha ha, and then realized they were to be a little more careful. So they decided to come up with a new name, Lovey Puppy or something, and renamed that dog. The dog was okay, turned out okay. They were going to tell the people that they just hit their dog and all of that, and then turned out okay. But that was just such a vivid example of using faith and using your words. But see, a lot of times people would just not maybe associate that, or they wouldn't realize. But what I'm telling you is that these are connected. Especially when you understand they're connected. You've got power to speak life over your children. You've got power to call things into being, to speak over them, how intelligent they are, how good-looking they are. And you can do the same thing with your spouse, or your future spouse, or using your words to call in that future spouse. These are the qualities they're going to have. And you speak it out, and you speak it out, and you hold fast to that confession. These are things that you can do with your words. With your words, you can say the way your day is going to go. In faith. And it may not look like that, and it may not be going like that. But in faith, you can choose and make changes. You can change the way things are going. With your words. With your words. In Matthew 12:37, the word justify there, because you'll be justified by your words, you shall be justified by your words, you're condemned. The word justify from the Webster's Dictionary means to show to be right or valid, to pronounce free from blame or guilt. Now, Romans 10:9 talks to us about salvation. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So what is that doing right there? It's confession. It's using the words of your mouth to confess Jesus as your Lord. And by doing that, you make yourself justified. In other words, you become made righteous by the confession of your own mouth, by confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. And then that wonderful transformation happens where God recreates your spirit and makes you born again. But it's not just believing, it's believing and speaking. It's confessing something. You're confessing Jesus as Lord. Mark 11:23 shows us that we get what we say. It talks about speaking to the mountain and telling it to be cast into the sea, and that if we don't doubt that we believe that things which we say shall come to pass, we shall have whatsoever we say. We're not getting what we say. Our words can set us free. Our words can minister health and life. Words lined up with scripture are powerful. We are never, ever to give up. A second point I want to make tonight is that the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. If you want health, take health. Sickness comes from the devil. So we're not to talk sickness, we're to talk life and health. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles, Proverbs 21:23. Let us hold fast our profession, that's King James. New American Standard says confession, which is a little easier for us to understand, that's Hebrews 4:14. Let us hold fast our confession. What that means in the Greek, that word, whether it's profession or confession, it means saying the same thing, agreement. So let us hold fast to saying the same thing. And that can be interpreted this way. You say the same thing as what the scripture says, and also be consistent yourself. Say the same thing. You don't want to 1 minute say you've got a cold, and the next minute say you're healed. You see what I'm saying? 1 minute you need compassion, you need your friend to put their arm around you because you don't feel very good, or your spouse. I'm not feeling very good. And then you go back, I've got to do my confessions. I know I shouldn't have said that stuff. I'm healed. Christ, Christ, Jesus, sick, I'm healed. I don't feel really good. The dog is still from healed. My nose is getting mad and bad. So if you feel that, you tell God the story, you repent, and you get right back on it. It is God's will for you to be healed, for you to be healthy, and to stay healthy. Now, one of the women that helped paint this church worked in an office, just, you know, kind of like a cubicle, but the whole room was open. But she had like a little cubicle area. The whole room's open. They're all open to each other where their work was. And so they're all breathing the same air, and it was winter time, and the flu was going around. Everybody in the office was talking about how everybody was getting the flu because the flu was going around. And then this person said, well, I'm not getting it. And then they said, I'm the picture of health. Now, the interesting thing is that this person, this lady, did not feel very good when she said that. And when she was swallowing, she felt recording. but she refused to get in agreement with what the devil was trying to do. She refused to go in opposition to what the Word of God says. She refused to get in agreement with what everyone around her was saying. And so she said she was the picture of health. And so while she worked that day, sitting at her cubicle, I guess you also need to know, and it may depend, it may be different situations. She didn't say it once, she didn't say it twice, she didn't say it three times, but all day long, she worked on clinging to the Word of God over what her physical body felt like. She did not feel very good, but we know that the flu, when it comes, it lasts a long time usually. And so she refused to give in to that. And so as she was sitting there doing her work, in between, she would just kind of mumble to herself, quietly, nobody else could really hear, so I wasn't distracting anyone, but she would keep clinging to the Word of God, and she was quoting scripture. Never, never confess how her body felt at all. And by the end of the day, when she left, it was completely gone. She had no symptoms whatsoever. So what is she doing? She had chosen to walk by faith, not by sight, and cling to the Word of God. That is faith. But that is faith and using the Word. It's faith and confession. And sometimes people can say, well, how can you do that? That's a lie. No, it's not a lie, because she never said she wasn't sick. She didn't say anything about that. What she did is she took the Word of God over the sense realm and spoke what the Word of God said. She spoke out the promises of God, not what her body was feeling. Do you understand the difference there? So, I mean, to go down and say, you're not sick, is not really a scripture. Forget really. It is not a scripture to say, I am not sick. But it is a scripture to say, himself bore my infirmities and carried away my diseases. By his stripes I was, past tense, healed. You see the difference there? So what you're doing is you're speaking forth and you're calling something into being. You're using your faith to calling this into being. I am saying, this is what the Word of God says, and I am willing to line up with it. My body is lining up with what the Word of God says. By his stripes I was healed. Past tense. Praise the Lord. I walk by faith, not by sight. Which means I go by the Word of God over circumstances or the sense realm. Doesn't mean you completely deny that sense realm. You need to acknowledge it. We're not talking about living in denial. But it means what you're choosing to do is believe the Word of God over that sense realm or what you can see. When we look at Mark 11:23, if you've got your Bible open for that, we can look at this. Jesus did not teach, he shall have whatsoever he believeth. What he taught there is, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You see that? So you don't want to be believing one thing and saying something else. He said, what he taught us here, the believing is important, but he said, he shall have whatsoever he saith. What this means is, good or bad, you will have your words. You'll get what you say. So you might as well be careful about what you're saying and say what you want. Say what you want to happen. Say what you want to come to pass. Be very specific and very intentional about the words that you speak. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He spoke it. Jesus spoke to the storm and he said, be still. Not, oh my, it's really windy out here. I hope the boat doesn't tip. We don't want to drown. I don't want my disciples to drown, right? He didn't say that. He spoke to it. He said, be still. He spoke to that fig tree. And he said, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And actually, all he did was speak something negative. But Peter, when he refers back to it, calls it a curse. He looked at him in Matthew. Peter calls it a curse. He's saying something negative is a curse. You don't have to kind of go, I curse this. Just saying something negative. Calling someone stupid. What is it? It's a curse. When Chad was younger, several years ago, he decided he wanted a dog. He would not let go of wanting a dog. I thought, maybe this is a phase and this will pass. He wanted a dog. Even a friend took care of him one time, and to cheer him up, she said she would let him pick anything he wanted from the toy store. And I cringed, thinking, anything he wanted? I mean, that's a big statement. And she said, I know what I'm doing, and I'm going to stand behind it. And she let him pick. We were on at a conference, and somebody else took care of him. And it, when we were little, just cheering him up because he missed us. And so she let him go into Toys R Us and pick out anything he wanted. And he picked out a life-size stuffed animal of a German Shepherd. And that is what he wanted. And then she bought him a hairbrush so that he could brush the hair of the life-size stuffed animal German Shepherd. And he cheered up right away. So that's what she did for him. And he kept that for years until he could reach out. He told his friends at school he had a dog. And at first I thought, oh, that's a lie. Told your friend you had a dog? And he went, he got that life-size stuffed animal, German Shepherd. And he said, see, I have a dog. And I thought, well, okay, technically that can pass. What was he doing? He was confessing. He was confessing. And because I knew what he was doing, I let it go. For 2 years, that young man confessed that he had a dog until finally I realized that I was the only thing standing between him and that dog. And so Brad and I decided to go ahead and get him a dog then. And I needed to see, and you know, we went through a lot. You have to be willing to clean up after it. You're going to have to feed it. You're going to have to do all these things. You're willing to do those things. And okay, we'll go ahead and we'll do this. And we got him a dog. 2 years, he did not give up. 2 years, he stuck with that. And he got it because of his persistence. He got it. He got a dog. I actually even had somebody else tell me they were going to buy him a dog. And then I thought, okay, this has really gotten serious. This has really gotten to the point where if we want any say in what kind of dog we get, we better be the ones to go buy it, because otherwise we were going to end up with other people buying him a dog. So we went and picked out a dog for him. But 2 years. And what was he doing with the words of his mouth? I have a dog. Now, he kind of meant that stuffed animal dog, but he was going around telling people that he had a dog. He had a dog. He had a dog. And he got a dog. He stuck with it. And he got one. The words that we speak today impact tomorrow. Be intentional with your words, say what you mean, speak words of life, health, success, and be a person of your word. Use your words to call things into being the same way that God did. Because we're told in Mark 11:22 to have the God kind of faith. And then he goes on and he tells us what the God kind of faith is. It's speaking to the mountain and believing that when you say it, it'll come to pass. What's interesting about that is that it's once you believe that you have it, then it's granted. Can you see that there? You got to get yourself to the point where you believe that you've received. And then it's granted. God knows when you reach that point. God knows when you get to the point where you actually believe you've received. And then it's granted. So that's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we, with our words and our faith, can call things into being and can change circumstances, can change the way our day goes, can change the way our future goes. We can make changes. Faith is released by our words. Without speaking, there is no release of faith. Without speaking, there is no release of faith. Faith must be released by words. When you got saved, at some point, you acknowledged and confessed Jesus. At some point, you did that. And everything else is similar. So the initial way that you came into the kingdom of God was not a one-time experience of exercising faith and confession, but it was the beginning of a lifetime of exercising faith and confession. We're not just called to get saved by faith, and we know there's grace there too, but we're called to live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Praise the Lord. Amen.